flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Big offseason, huge offseason, maybe the biggest offseason this team has ever seen. No, it's hyperbole, but it's not the biggest offseason.
It's up there.
It's a big offseason.
It is.
You know, post-Brady was a big offseason. That didn't go great.
No.
Post-Bill, big offseason, didn't go great.
Why? They brought everybody back. That didn't work out.
No.
No, okay.
No. They got worse at coach, and then they just had all the same players. So you can imagine how that went. But no, now it's a new time. It's a new era in Patriots football. We think they're going to spend money. We don't know if they will. We know they should. And they have essentially an all-new coaching staff. So it is a big offseason. They got the number 4 pick. Not as good as the number 1 pick.
No.
But it's, you know, it's not bad. So you got that. And, yeah, how are they going to turn this around? How are they going to have a Washington Commanders-like 4-wins-1-season conference championship next season type of thing? How are they going to do it?
Well, there's a lot of different avenues to pursue for the Patriots. We're already starting to hear some names on the trade market. We talked a lot about Myles Garrett.
Yeah, juicy trade market already.
Yesterday, we'll get more into Myles Garrett today, what it would take to get him. I think we have more insight on that, despite right off the top, Mike Garofolo saying the Browns aren't going to move him.
I bet they do.
Something tells me they're going to move him. Yeah. Cooper Kupp's name also out there on the trade market. That's a name we've talked about a lot over the last couple of weeks. You could jump in all day long here on Jones and Keefe. It's busy Tuesday. It's a tier Tuesday.
Huge today.
We'll get into some eats at the Super Bowl, at your Super Bowl party snacks. We'll get to Tom Curran at high noon, a Tom E. Tuesday here on WEEI plus Kiefer Madness at 12:45. All your phone calls on fixing the Patriots, rebuilding the Patriots, and lessons we can learn from the Chiefs and Eagles in the Super Bowl. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number and your text line. Interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch along and chat twitch.tv/BostonWEEI and also watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. We mentioned those names, Myles Garrett, Cooper Kupp among them. What can we learn, and maybe those names tie into it, what can we learn from the roster building of the two teams here in Super Bowl 59 meeting up Sunday in New Orleans, the Chiefs and the Eagles? What jumps out there, Keith?
All right, so which team do you want to look at first? Because I think if you want to break down either one.
Which one jumps out to
you? Do you want to go with, let's go with the Eagles first.
Okay.
So the Eagles have hit on a lot of their draft picks recently, and so that's a good sign, but not all of their draft picks. And so one thing that jumps out to me, and I know I'm very wide receiver obsessed, but they took Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson, which is as bad as it is. As much as we make fun of all the guys after N'Keal Harry, Jalen Reagor right before Justin Jefferson is insane. Like, that is one of the all-time whiffs. But they didn't double down. They didn't, like, try to make it happen. They didn't say, oh, well, you know, we're never going to do that again. They then followed that up by using first-round picks again on wide receivers. Devontae Smith was a first-rounder of their own, and then they traded a first-rounder for A.J. Brown. And so now, even though they have this great running game, they are set at wide receiver. They have two legitimate wide receivers. Their quarterback they drafted, now second round, different than Drake May early first round, but a second round guy that they developed and now has been pretty good. They add in free agency Saquon Barkley, who had 2,000 yards in one of the great running back seasons of all time. So as much as we say, hey, the free agent class isn't great and you need to look via trade, maybe a position like running back is one that teams are afraid that the second contract, they don't want to give a lot of money to those guys. And you might be able, like, you know, Baltimore, Derrick Henry, and Philadelphia, Saquon Barkley, they got unbelievable years from running backs that were just out there for everybody. So I look at this model where I say, I'm not going free agency for wide receivers. T. Higgins may be an exception, but I'm more likely trading for wide receivers. And then maybe you add a running back in free agency and you go from there. And then we get into like what they did defensively. But it's the skill position guys around Jalen Hurts that really jump out to me.
So when I look at both these teams, and Philly's included in this,
yeah.
When I look at these teams, and I will entertain this now that we think you have the quarterback in place. Robert Kraft would say you have two of them.
Maybe you have two quarterbacks.
Assuming you're not trading Joe Milton for Miles Garrett. Now that you have the quarterback in place, I'll entertain the lines discussion, the trenches discussion.
They got some big fellas up front.
I mean, you look at both these teams, and I think if you really want to get into the roster building of the Chiefs and the Eagles, you look at the hosses they have, Keith, on both sides of the ball. Jalen Carter, Chris Jones, you know, Lane Johnson, the investment
Joe Tooney,
the Chiefs have made in the offensive line. Exactly. I think it's fair to look at it and go along the lines. These teams are both spectacular. The Eagles defense, I think, is very underrated, very slept on. The Chiefs defense, I think we know at this point in time, they didn't even score 30 in a game until the AFC title game against Buffalo, and they still won 15 games this year. Mm-hmm. And they really only lost one real game. So I think that's the lesson in the team building. Even before you get to layering the roster with wide receivers and adding Saquon Barkley, like, I'd put the quarterback above all else. I would say the biggest reason the Chiefs have gone to another level from Alex Smith, even with Andy Reid and everything else, is Mahomes. I think that's self-evident. I think Jalen Hurts is a good, not great quarterback. And so you start with the QB, and then you start to fill it out around him. I think it's fair to say the trenches are where the Patriots are lacking and where these two teams would have a massive, massive advantage over the Pats, and they could invest in it. I think the problem with that approach is that's going to be slow. I think that's going to be a slow rebuild. Like, I don't think you just add Abdul Carter at four.
Well, we legit had a caller yesterday, and he might be right with the timetable, but it just seems like it is too slow, where he's like, you got to beef up the trenches for 2 years, then add the receivers. I'm like, oh my God, so now Drake May is going to be in his walk year you finally get players around him?
I think that might be the right way to build it. Looking at the Chiefs, looking at the Eagles, they invest in their lines all the time, whether it's free agency with the Chiefs and the O-line. You know, you mentioned Tooney, some of the guys they brought in. Whether it's the Eagles, they drafted it over years and years and years, the defensive lines as well. But how long does that take? And how long do you want to wait it out? And I just wonder if the Patriots have the stomach for that. I wonder if the fan base really has the stomach for that. I probably don't. I'm not a patient man. I probably don't have the patience to do it. So I'm probably going to fall into the shiny object and try for a quicker rebuild and cut some corners. I would say, looking at these two teams, though, I am probably more comfortable with the Abdul Carters of the world, the Mason Grahams of the world. I probably am more comfortable if they want to draft it, or even Will Campbell on the offensive line. I'm probably more comfortable looking at these two teams saying, all right, you want to start that rebuild and start to rework the trenches, doing it with the number four pick. You may not be up here again. Hopefully you won't be up here again, even though we were saying that about Drake May a year ago.
Sure.
Hopefully you won't be up here a year again. Get that stud prospect to get yourself a Chris Jones, or get yourself, you know, in the case of the Eagles, a Lane Johnson or something like that on either side of the ball. While you're up here, I'm a little more open to that, looking at these two teams in the Super Bowl.
So looking at it, I could be wrong on this, but a quick glance, the starting offensive lines combined only have two first-round picks. I don't think Kansas City has any first-round picks on their offensive line.
So Johnson, but they invested a lot in free agency. But
No, but they did. And Joe Tooney's a great
Creed
lineman.
Creed Humphrey was a second-round pick. Some of the guys they brought in, and they've drafted young guys, they weren't highly picked.
So Kansas City's been able to kind of put it together. You're right, they invested in it. And I think what happened was they got to the Super Bowl a few years ago, lost to Tom Brady and that defense that just destroyed them. They said, all right, we can't let that happen again. And so they've invested a lot of money. But a lot of it was guys that they identified from around the league and brought them in. Philadelphia, they have two first-round picks, two second-round picks, and I think a seventh-rounder on their starting offensive line. You know, we did this same exercise for Detroit, also a great offensive line. I think they have, like, four first-round picks on their line. So, yeah, I mean, that can be the smart play, and that's the other issue you run into when you're the Patriots. You have so many needs. You can only draft, if you stay at four, you can only take one player. And even if you trade down, how many picks are you getting? And then you need to hit on all of those picks. Now, one thing I feel a little bit better about is Doug Marrone, offensive line coach. And then the report yesterday that Dante Scarnecchia is, like, willing to work with these guys too.
Yeah, what does that mean? Like in a consulting role, not like officially on staff, but like
maybe he pops into a couple practices or something like that, or weighs in
consultant role. Yeah, I mean, how could it hurt? Sure.
Now the talent was so bad last year that even if Dante was there from the start to the end, I can't imagine how much better they would have been. Probably better, but would they have been like, hey, no problem here? Like, I don't think so. You know, even Dante in the years that he had couldn't get everybody to look like an unbelievable lineman. But yeah, they got issues there because even if everybody's healthy, you like two guys. And I mean, how many years can you think David Andrews is going to start the season, finish the season? What position is Mike Onwenu? Like they got their work cut out for him on the offensive line. The draft, though, is not the worst spot, right? Now that you have the quarterback in a quarterback draft, you didn't put that off to this year. Then you would have been like, oh, crap. Now who do they take? But it might be time to invest in the offensive line. And I mean, like first, second, third round picks rather than later.
That's probably the smart thing to do.
Yeah.
Do you have the patience for it? Because that's not going to all click in 1 year. That's not going to be overhauled in one night.
You can take a Cole Strange, correct, and that didn't fix anything.
Your offensive and your defensive line aren't going to get fixed in one offseason. They're not. You can make big strides, but adding an offensive lineman here, even highly drafted, defensive lineman there, you're making big steps. Are you fixing everything overnight? Do you have the stomach for that? And what lessons can you learn from the Chiefs and the Eagles the way they've built their rosters? 617-779-7937. Now, I was reading Phil Perry yesterday on the Myles Garrett discussion. We had a lot of this yesterday.
Yeah.
Already in the Twitch chat, oh, they're not going to get Myles Garrett. He wouldn't come here. Maybe not. I mean, he wants to win is what he said. He also probably wants a new deal.
I would imagine he also wants money.
And he's not a free agent, so you can force the Browns' hand on that one, call his bluff, see if he'll come here and hold out. He could pull a Hassan Reddick. He could. Phil Perry is hearing it's going to take the fourth overall pick plus more to get Myles Garrett.
I really like Myles Garrett, and he's one of the three best defensive players in the NFL now, and I think he will be for the next, call it 3 years. I'm not trading the fourth pick for him. I'm not. I don't think anybody can really top that. I think that's obviously what you ask for if you're Cleveland.
Can I play devil's advocate on it? Because the fourth round pick sounds high. Fourth overall pick sounds high. It is a poor draft, right? Like everybody universally says it's a poor draft. So is it really the fourth round pick or fourth overall pick rather compared to other years? And what's the value of the fourth overall pick this year versus the fourth overall pick a year ago, 2 years from now, et cetera? If it's a down draft, isn't that the year to trade your pick?
I think a down draft probably applies more to second half of the first round and beyond. I think if two quarterbacks go in the top three, you're still talking about Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, who I think even in a good draft wouldn't wait too long to get picked. So I think that still has a decent amount of value, right? And, you know, it's contingent on these quarterbacks going and pushing down the other position players on the board. But yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not saying, you know, there's no way in hell you do it because Myles Garrett is that good. But I'd rather hold on to the fourth pick, and for a couple of reasons. One, you either get a really good player there who's under team control for a long time, and you still have, let's hope, this big, you know, salary, a lot of money to still spend on the rest of your roster in other spots, or you trade down from four, and even though the draft may not be the strongest, if you get a couple more throws at it, or maybe you even get a pick for next year, right? Let's say you move down in the draft and you get a first-round pick for next year, so now you're in the better draft, and now you have more shots at all the different needs that you have. So I would be a no on the fourth overall pick, but listen, he's great, so it wouldn't be the worst trade in the world.
And look, maybe it's not Myles Garrett, but how quickly is Mike Vrabel looking to win year one, invest year one, win his way, which I do think aligns with some of these needs we're talking about, the way the Chiefs and Eagles are built. The way they drafted in Tennessee pretty consistently was O-line, D-line. And that's probably Vrabel's core belief when it comes to roster building. It's hard to know. He wasn't in charge of the roster in Tennessee, but that was what they did while he was there. You know, the Jeffrey Simmonses of the world and picks like that. So I think there's going to be an appetite to bring in a game wrecker on defense. It might be Abdul Carter at four. It might be Myles Garrett on the trade market. It might be a free agent, Josh Sweat, or somebody like that. I'd expect a big investment there. And, you know, the closer we get to free agency, the closer we get to the draft, the more open-minded I would be to that, looking at teams like the Chiefs and the Eagles in the Super Bowl. And I would just file away. Yep, the fourth overall pick sounds like a blue-chip player. And it might be. it is supposed to be a down draft. And how much are guys like even Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter, if they're there at four, where would those guys go in a more typical draft or a deeper draft? Certainly still well in the first half of the first round, probably the top 10. Would they be going one? Would they be going two, three, four? I have questions about that because it does seem overall like a down draft.
I think they'd go fairly high because I think the quarterbacks are an outlier. So this year, so some years there's going to be really good quarterbacks, which would push them down. Like if they were in last year's draft, they're not getting drafted ahead of Caleb Williams, Drake May, or Jaden Daniels.
Right. Would they go ahead of Marvin Harrison even? Like I wonder where those guys go in that. Where does Abdul Carter go in last year's draft? Five or six?
Well, yeah, maybe because there's no defensive players in last year's draft. So maybe he would get kind of pulled up there a little bit higher. Travis Hunter's an interesting case just because we've never seen anything really like Travis
Hunter. Maybe he goes above Marvin Harrison. Maybe. I was less in love with Harrison as a prospect, but he was thought of as a can't miss generational type of wide receiver.
But in a draft like this, even though it's a down draft, I mean, those guys would be, they're better prospects, I think, than Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward. And so if you're getting them at four, to me, it still has a good amount of value. It's almost like having the number one pick in this year's draft. I wonder if Cleveland would be open to some sort of like pick swap and if that'd be more palpable. So you'd say, because Cleveland's already picking two. So you're obviously taking that one. But if you're like, hey, we'll give you the fourth pick, but then we want your second round pick. And then we'll toss in like our second, third.
Okay.
So because then it's like you're still getting some throws at this draft and you're getting some young players that could come in and play right away on top of Myles Garrett. Because I mean, that is a lot to give up even in the draft.